Well, what's in the pipeline? Hopefully oil. Lots of it. We'll find out. Our special guest tonight, Lindsey Williams. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Lindsey Williams, who has been an ordained Baptist minister for 28 years, went to Alaska in 1971 as a missionary. The Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline began its construction phase in 74, and because of Mr. Williams' love for his country and concern for the spiritual welfare of the pipeliners, he volunteered to serve as chaplain on the pipeline. Now, because of the executive status accorded to him as chaplain, he was given access to information documented in his eye-opening work, The Energy Non-Crisis. Now, after numerous public speaking engagements in Western states primarily, certain government officials and concerned individuals urged Mr. Williams to put this in print, what he saw, what he heard, and here he is, Lindsey Williams. Hello, Lindsey. How are you?
George, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on Coast to Coast AM tonight at a time when gasoline is $3 to $4 a gallon at the gas pump. Groceries are 21% higher at the grocery store than they were January the 1st. Iran announced today no more dollars. We will not even accept one in our country for the payment of crude oil. And crude oil today went over $98 a barrel. And of all things, the Federal Reserve is expected sometimes today to announce another interest cut, which is probably going to take the dollar to an all-time low, somewhere around 84 basic points, and every bit of this has to do with crude oil.
And you know, Lindsey, they've been saying for years that there are some people around this planet that would love to see the economy of the United States simply collapse, and it sounds like they're planning it this way.
Well, yes, and they're doing it for a reason. They must bring in the North American Union, and in order to do it, they must collapse the American dollar. They are well on their way to accomplishing what the elitists have wanted to do, talked about, and calculated for many years.
Yeah, and it seems to be happening too fast now, Lindsey. I mean, did it creep up on us, or did it just hit us right away?
They have known for years what they were going to do. In fact, I heard them talking about it years ago when I sat in their board meetings, and it's nothing new to them. You see, everything happens by an agenda. It's all planned in advance. Nothing happens by chance. Every bit of this is according to what they have wanted for a long time.
Tell me a little bit about who you are, Lindsey, and what you've done in the past, way beyond just the bio that I had.
Well, I went to Alaska as an aviation missionary. And just after arriving in the state, they announced they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline and that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on my state to build that pipeline. Now, I had heard that pipeliners were supposed to be about the most roughest, toughest, cussingest, drinkingest, honoringest folks on the face of the earth. And the first thing that came to my mind as a Baptist missionary was they must need some spiritual guidance. So I went to Alaska Pipeline Service Company. That was a consortium of nine major oil companies that were going to build that full-foot diameter, 800-mile pipeline transversing the state of Alaska from Prudhoe Bay down to Valdez. And I said, don't you need a chaplain on the pipeline? Well, they laughed at me at first. They said, we never had a chaplain on any pipeline in the world. We don't know what to do with you. I kept going back and back and back. I guess persistence paid off, and after a while they said, okay, we'll give you the Northern Seven Camps. Just go up there and work out your own schedule, see what you can do. Well, I did. And about 6 months later, Mr. R.H. King, personnel relations man with Alaska, came to me and he said, Chaplain, you are saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. We never had the slightest idea of the value of a chaplain on the pipeline. He said, we'd like to make life a little easier for you up here, and we have just voted to give you executive status. And I said, well, Mr. King, what does that mean? He said, go any place you'd like, see anything you'd like to see. And he said, we would like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. George, I didn't have the slightest idea, but I, for 3 years' time, by the providence of God, and that's the only way it could have happened. You see, a little insignificant, unknown missionary flying out in the bush of Alaska, sitting in the board meetings with the people you hear about in the World Bank, the IMF, the elitist of the oil companies. And for 3 years' time, I sat and listened to the powers that be relate what their intentions were for this world. If somebody had asked me back in when I first went to Alaska, do you believe there's a group of people who control the world? I would have laughed at them and said, who are you, a John Bircher? If somebody had asked me after I wrote my book, Energy Non-Crisis, Lindsay Williams, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth who tell the president what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, tell the Arabs what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil on any given day and control the currencies of the world? I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it.
Lindsay, why does there seem to be such an incredible lobby to convince the world that we're in the peak oil, that there's a huge shortage, that, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling? Why?
Someone asked me the other day, they said, why don't you have a glossary in your book, Energy Non-Crisis? And I said, because you see, most authors read other people's books, do research at the library, everything imaginable, and then sit down and write a book about it. I said, I lived my story. So I will give you peak oil as I saw it. Now, this may not necessarily agree with the textbooks or the geologists or the scientists, but I'm going to tell you what I saw exactly as I saw it. Prudhoe Bay flowed its first oil and down the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline in 1977. At that time, the Prudhoe Bay oil field had 1,500 pounds of artesian pressure, natural pressure, the oil coming up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. And the ecologist back in those days, I even have some of the articles in my files until yet, the ecologist said, oh, Prudhoe Bay will all be depleted within a matter of approximately 20 years. Well, we have gone 32 years. It's not depleted. And when that oil first flowed, it flowed 1.7 million barrels of oil that first day. Now, 32 years later, the Prudhoe Bay, Alaska oil field still has 1,500 pounds of natural artesian pressure. They're flowing approximately 1.1, 1.2 million barrels of oil down the pipeline every day. And the field has not depleted. It has replenished itself. Now, I'm asked this question all the time about peak oil because the textbooks are going to have to be rewritten. And the reason they're going to have to be rewritten is because of what Russia did within just the past few months. Russia drilled super deep wells where no one has ever gone before.
And how deep is that? How deep is a deep well, Lindsay?
Their COLA SG3 wells went to 40,230 feet.
Okay.
And they found massive amounts of crude oil.
How'd the dinosaurs and dead plants get down there, Lindsay?
Oh, come on, give me a break. It is not a fossil fuel from dinosaurs and plants that have decayed. Oil is something that is chemically reproducing itself in the heart of the earth. You see, the second most plentiful liquid on the face of the earth is crude oil. Number one is water. And the second most plentiful liquid is crude oil. We don't have any shortage of crude oil. They have found massive amounts. And when we get into the story of Gull Island later on at your suggestion, I'll tell you what can be done and what could happen. Crude oil, this business of peak oil is a total misnomer.
You know what, Thomas Gold, of course, was a staunch believer in the abiotic theory, of course, that this planet replenishes itself, has as much oil as you need. It's here. I guess during the formation of the planet, Lindsay, this came about. Tell me how you think it started.
Well, oil is being replenished from down to the heart of the earth, and when the Russians drilled there, it caused the scientists to go into a dilemma because they're going to have to rewrite the textbooks on peak oil. And they don't know what causes it. I've tried every way possible to read everything I can, and they say, no, we do not know what's happening down there. All we know is that it is replenishing and seeping up into many. Now, not all, but many of the oil fields of the world, such as Prudhoe Bay, are replenishing. So no peak oil.
What would its... Why would the planet have it? Why would the planet generate it? What's its purpose? Yeah, I'm sure unless this planet, well, I believe the planet's alive, to tell you the truth. I don't know how intelligent it is, but I think it's alive. Do you think one day it said, you know, we have to be able to help our humans on this planet with some energy source, so we're making this, we're producing this? I don't think that's the case. Why does it exist?
Well, George, I'd like to go back to your statement when you began just a moment ago. You said the planet is alive. Yes, I agree. And it is intelligent. I think the only lack of intelligence is the human beings who live on the planet. Because there's no question but that the planet is alive. Someone said to me the other day, they said, Chaplain Williams, don't you think it's time to brush down the cobwebs and start all over again? And I said, brush down the cobwebs, nothing. I think it's time to kill the spider.
Well, that's a good point. Kill the spider, indeed. Gull Island. Let's talk about it. You brought it up. We've got some time here. Fascinating.
Gull Island, I never shall forget that day that I walked in that morning into Arco Base Camp up at Prudhoe Bay, and standing at the door was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Jim Lawler. And he said, come on, Chaplain. He said, would you like to see something exciting today? I said, Jim, I'm always in for excitement. He said, get in my pickup truck and let's ride out to West Dock. That's where the big flotilla came in every year to supply Prudhoe Bay. And as we rode along, he explained that out on Gull Island, about 3 miles out in the Arctic Ocean, I said, yes, I've seen the drill rig out there for the last year or so. He said, we think we've made a major oil discovery. Well, we got there. He had explained the perforations of the pipe, the depth of the field, and what they thought it was, and the parameter of the field. And in a few moments, a big black plume of smoke went up into the sky. I noticed he became very excited. And in a few minutes, he came back to the truck, and he said, come on, let's head back to base camp. I got to see what's coming in. We went back to Arco Base, went up to the second floor where Mr. Ken Fromm's office was. He was a senior executive with Atlantic Richfield on duty that week. And when I got to his door, I stopped. I didn't dare go in. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I looked inside Mr. Ken Fromm's office, and here stood the top 8 oil company officials of the world. I was amazed. I knew better than to go in the room without being invited. And in a few moments, Mr. Ken Fromm looked at me and said, oh, come on, Chaplain. He said, it doesn't matter. You can come in. I walked in. I've never seen such excited oil company officials in my life. And after a few moments, Ken Fromm looked at me and he said, Chaplain, we have just done it. I said, you've just done what? He said, we have just discovered the largest oil pool in North America. He said, it's probably the largest oil pool in the world. He said, it should be headlines on every newspaper in America tomorrow morning. America Energy Independent. We don't need any more Arab oil. He said, Chaplain, this is exciting. Well, believe me, I went back to my dorm room that night. First thing I wanted to do was head back to Arco Base the next morning and look at the headlines of the Anchorage newspapers that came in on Wing Airlines' first flight. And when I got to the front door, the security guard caught me and he said, Chaplain, you go upstairs and sit down in Mr. Fromm's office right now. Don't you even talk to me. I said, what's the matter? What have I done wrong? He said, just go up there and sit down. In a few moments, Mr. Fromm walked in, closed the door, and said, Chaplain, I'm sorry I let you in the room yesterday. He said, that information has just been ordered classified. I said, Ken, you can't. I said, this is phenomenal. Great American dream, we can have it again. Prices can come down on gasoline. I said, Ken, why are you doing this? He said, Lindsay, we are not going to produce Gull Island until we get the price of crude oil where we want it to go. I looked at him and I said, Ken, where do you want it? He said, I can't tell you. Well, I found out recently from one of my informants they want it to go to $150 a barrel.
Well, they're getting darn close, Lindsay.
Oh, $98 today, yeah. And they're going to $150 a barrel. Then they will open up that monstrous oil find. They will also open up the huge find that they found in Utah. But you see, the part, George, that is dastardly, and I'll I'll try my best to explain in some way so people can understand. You see, the price of gasoline could be less than $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump within a year and a half time if only there would be some honesty in Washington, D.C. And we have an oil president and an oil vice president who know this.
And we'd have an abundance of it.
Abundance. Gull Island alone. Listen to the governor of the state of Alaska. This is a quote. He was on the Bill Maher TV show entitled Real Time.
Yeah.
And he said, quote, there is potentially enough crude oil on the north slope of Alaska to last the United States of America for 200 years. And he is correct.
Years ago, did an interview with an individual who believes that underneath the floor of the ocean, there could be enough oil to last 100,000 years.
Oh, there is no shortage. America can be energy independent.
Then why do we go to war over this stuff? Why are we dictated by policy over this stuff? Why is it suppressed? I mean, how much money do they need to make, Lindsay?
Well, in order to answer that question, I must go to the elitists themselves. And the mindset that I saw amongst them when I lived with them for 3 years. Now, keep in mind, of course, that it wasn't unusual for me to sit down to the breakfast table with the International Secretary Treasurer of Exxon. And I take no credit for this. I was an insignificant little unknown missionary prior to this. I had no way of knowing what I was seeing. And I had an opportunity to examine the mindset of these people. Understand, I've been a Baptist minister of a church of about 400 people for 12 years prior to this, and had a bachelor's degree and had studied psychiatry and had counseled with many people on a church level. And to sit down with the elitist of the world and have an opportunity to examine their mindset and know why they think. And the reason is, George, they don't think like you and I think.
No,
these elitists of the world have an agenda of their own. They have a mindset that is different than anything the average American could understand.
We think about caring for other people or trying to help other people. They're planning to take advantage of us.
Oh, positively. In fact, the name of the game is control. It's not money. You know, the average American, I hear so often on radio talk shows and sometimes even talk show hosts say, oh, these people, they're just money hungry. No, they're not. I sat with people who could write a check for $1 million a day every day for the rest of their life and never spend their fortunes. That's what they wanted. The same thing that other rulers down through history wanted. The name of the game is control. Yes, money is a part of it, but that's just a part of the whole scenario of the mindset of these people.
That's true. It is all about that. And they also want to control population, too.
I heard them talk about a 30-year plan when I sat in their board meetings and had an opportunity to speak with these people one-on-one and live in the same dorms with them. I heard them talk about what they had planned for the world for the next 30 years. I recorded it in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. They had an agenda. And I love to ask audiences on a marvelous radio show like I have the privilege of being on tonight.
We'll get the call soon.
Yes, they have an agenda. But I ask people, do you have an agenda? Are you prepared for your dinner table and your house and your job in light of what these people have for you? And you see, George, I have no reason to be talking the way I'm talking tonight because I was very happy doing what I was doing as a missionary in the state of Alaska. I had no reason to write a secular book, but I felt a moral obligation to tell the world what I saw when my entire life was changed by living with these people for 3 years' time.
Did you have any problems with this book, personally, because it came out?
I don't like to answer that question, but I'll be glad to. I sleep quite well at night. I don't look behind bushes. I travel continually, speaking all over the country. I have divine protection. God promised me years ago that everything would be okay, and I was just to go ahead and do what I was supposed to. I'm not going to say that it has been without certain threats, problems. I'll just put it this way. The truth had to get out, so it was my job to give it.
All right, stay with us, Lindsay. More to come. We want to talk with you about this, the energy non-crisis. We'll open up the phone lines next hour for you. We'll be back. And our special guest tonight, Lindsay Williams. We'll be back with Lindsay in just a moment. We're going to take your phone calls next hour as well. So get ready on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Lindsay, why do you believe in basically the abiotic fuel theory?
I believe it because of what they've discovered when they went down there and found this when they when Russia drilled as deep as they did.
Okay, so it's primarily the Russian drill that got you.
First ones that drilled deep enough to be able to prove anything. So to the point that the geologists are going to have to think twice before they write their textbooks again.
Why do you think there are some people who truly believe, and we've had them on this program, in the peak oil theory? I mean, they come well prepared. They've got information. They've got their views. How can we have two distinct camps here, the abiotic people and the peak oil people?
Well, understand, of course, that my experience comes from living it. I didn't go and research the books. I didn't read someone else's materials to find out what they had to say.
You were there.
I lived there. I was there. I lived it. I know what has happened over 35 years ago. I've investigated what the Russians did and see the other oil fields of the world. Saudi Arabia is not depleting. Saudi Arabia still got plenty of oil. Iraq, second largest oil field in the world. Iran, third largest oil field in the world. They don't have any intentions in giving out anytime soon. Peak oil is totally a misnomer for the purpose of taking the price of crude oil where they want it to go today.
Then you're saying basically it's a scam.
It is a total scam. Now, please understand, I am not trying to give those who believe in peak oil a problem. If they want to believe that, and if that's what their investigation says, fine. But what I lived just doesn't look that way.
Well, as the price keeps going up at the pump and we're looking at home foreclosures and record numbers, how much more can we take?
Well, we can't. In fact, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. I was on a...
Oh, now, what does that mean to us? If the dollar collapses, how do we, you know, the person listening to this program right now, how does that affect them?
Oh, it's going to affect drastically the dinner table, the house, the job. It's happened in so many countries over the years. Germany had it happen during the last war. I was in Panama just a few days ago at a seminar. We had people from many countries of the world there, and we even had an ambassador from a country there. And after my presentation, a person from America came up to me and said, oh, we would never accept anything but a greenback in America. He said, we'll never accept anything but a dollar. I said, yes, you will. They said, when? I said, whenever the dollar collapses to the point that you must take a wheelbarrow load of paper to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, you will beg the Federal Reserve for another currency, and they'll give it to you. And I said they want to give it to you because they want the North American Union. But I said, first of all, they must collapse our present currency before they can give you what they want you to have.
Well, if it does collapse, and I don't want to get too conspiratorial here, but, you know, is this scheme aimed at destroying the United States from within? Are there people in this country who know this is coming and they want this to happen?
Oh, positively. And the name of the game is control. It's not a matter of necessarily harm as much as it is control. All right. For instance, last week I was on a radio show in Jacksonville, Florida. A gentleman called in and he said, introduced himself. He said, I am the program the manager for Ron Paul for the state of Florida. He said, did you hear what Ron Paul said last week? Now, understand who Ron Paul is. He's been in the House of Representatives for approximately 30 years.
From Texas.
He is on the banking subcommittee of the House of Representatives. That means he probably knows currency and what's happening as much as anybody in Washington. And he said, Ron Paul said last week that the dollar is going to zero. Now, I don't know whether that is true or not. I'm just going by what an authority said. And every time the Federal Reserve lowers interest rates, the basic point of the dollar goes down. And that's the reason I said at the beginning of the program tonight, they're scheduled to lower interest rates again today. Yet inflation is going crazy.
It'll make the stock market jump, right? Won't the stock market jump when that happens?
The stock market's going to jump, and the dollar is going to go down, and gold's going to go through the roof.
Again. Well, I got to tell you, it's a tense time for a lot of people, Lindsay, but I believe that the elitists like you are out to get us and to get us fast, to push us into this North American Union and to get this much like the European group. And I would say within a year we'll be that way.
They have a schedule. In fact, they have announced a date. We were able to get the minutes from the Council of Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, and we were able to get some very unusual information. I've just finished producing a DVD titled The North American Union. They have set the date of 2010 to complete their agenda.
2 years. I'm off by a year. Okay? I'm off by a year.
Well, I don't know. That's just their date. It's 2010, and they've already named the new currency. Finally, they can't hide it any longer. They hid it from Congress for 5 years, and our president met with the people in Canada and Mexico behind closed doors, never let anybody know what he was doing, all the time planning with the elitist of the world. And now, of course, it's out. Lou Dobbs has said it 7 times on CNN News.
It's the Amero.
Yeah, the Amero is the new currency that they're going to issue. They've already named it.
Well, it's going to happen. So what do we do about it? It's going to happen.
Get ready.
We can't stop it, can we?
No, but we can't stop it. I don't think there's any way at all. Let me go one more step here, though, George. There's one thing that I learned when I lived with the elitists. There's only one thing on the face of the earth that they fear. Money doesn't bother them at all. They have all that they want. Control, they've got that pretty well. George, there's only one thing that these people fear.
What's that?
They fear people like you. That's right. George Norrie, Coast to Coast, programs like this, telling the people the truth. They fear the masses waking up. That's the only thing they have any fear of. And because of the marvelous job you're doing, and all of us out here trying our best to tell the truth, the masses are waking up, and I think it's scaring them to death.
You think we're slowing it down?
Oh, I positively think that we're giving them a thorn, a burr in the saddle. I think they're scared to death to see that a patriotic American can even get a foot in the door as far as the next presidential election is concerned.
Well, we followed the elitists and the Illuminati, as I call them, the one world government, for years now. And a lot of our guests who believe in this will tell you that, like you, it's getting closer and closer and closer. But I also believe that it's possible we can fight back by continuing to pound away at them. I think we can do away with the chips and those implants, that we can stop their push to take all our guns away, that we can stop them from trying to do this North American alliance. But it's going to be one heck of a fight, Lindsay.
Oh, I think we can do it. And I'm not giving up. I'm 71 years of age, and I intend to see many years yet of out there getting the job done and telling the story everywhere I can. I lived with them. I know these people. I know their mindset. I understand what they're doing. And yes, they do have a fear of people just like you, George, who are out here telling the truth day after day.
The energy crisis, of course, that pops up, goes away, pops up. I've always said that they push the prices up, then they drop them a little bit, and we jump up and down, and then they push them back up again, and then they drop them back down a little bit. They ultimately get us at a price they're always happy with, don't they?
Frog boiling in the pot. That's exactly
the scenario. A nice little simmer. Yep.
And now they're doing it, and they're going to take the price of a barrel of oil to $150 a barrel, which will denominate $7 to $11 at the gas pump. And folks, get ready right now. You see, if you prepare now, you don't have anything to worry about. George, I've got to bear with me. Being a minister, I believe the word of God. And the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will scare you to death.
It will.
That's not what it says.
But you're not preaching to the choir here.
And the truth shall set you free. Folks, you have nothing to worry about whatsoever. If you know the truth and take action now, while there's still time to do something about it, you don't need to waste any sleep. There's no need to be scared. There's nothing to be frightened about hearing what you hear on George Norrie show and what I'm saying tonight. If you will take action now, you can spare yourself.
Lindsay, when they called you up to that office and said, you know what, you can't say this, Lindsay. You said something that's confidential. You can't do that. Were they concerned? Were they going to fire you? What happened?
Oh, they couldn't fire me because they didn't pay me anything. See, the oil companies never paid me a dime. I was paid by my religious denomination. But something did happen, George. After the first edition of my book, Energy Non-Crisis, came out, I was sitting in my house in Kusilov, Alaska one day, and I had a phone call, and on the other end of the line was Mr. Ken Fromm. And he was mad. Oh, my goodness, I don't think I've ever heard a man any more irate in my life. He was beside himself, and I said, Ken, wait a minute. What in the world is wrong with you? He said, Lindsay, Atlantic Richfield just fired me. I said, what? You are a career man. You're only a year or two away from retirement. You were the person that produced the entire east side of the Prudhoe Bay oil field. You built the first fracking plant at Prudhoe Bay. I said, they can't fire you. He said, yes, they did. I said, why? He said, they found out that I was the one that let you in the room that day when Gull Island information was there, documentation. And he said, as a result, they fired me. He said, Lindsay, I want to do something for you. He said, I'm so angry at Atlantic Richfield. He said, you're a minister. You're not an oil patch man. And he said, there are a few things in your book that are not letter perfect. And he said, because of it, they are going to discredit your entire book and smear you. He said, I would like to rewrite your book for you. Will you let me? I said, I sure will. I'll be glad to. For about a month's time, Ken Fromm and I sat down, rewrote my book, and he wrote a chapter in the book. Folks, you must read this. So have pencil and paper ready later on, because we'll tell you where you can get it. But my book entitled The Energy Non-Crisis, and a chapter that Ken Fromm, senior executive with Atlantic Richfield, wrote himself, is entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. Then the second edition, the one that we have right now, updated and revised, came out, and it wasn't long after that I had another phone call. Who was on the other end of the line but Ken Fromm? Had a smile in his voice this time, and he said, well, Lindsay, sure glad I rewrote that book for you when I did, because he said, Atlantic Richfield has just hired me back, given me a large increase in pay, a big retirement.
They're trying to hush him up.
And he said, told me that I'm not to give you any more information.
Uh-huh. And he took the job?
But he did one day.
He did?
Yeah, in 1984.
All right.
I was sitting again in my living room, and I never expected to hear from him again. And the phone rang, and the other end of the line was Ken Fromm. And he said, Chaplain, let me say, George, these people are nothing but human beings. They may have massive power, and they are the elitist, but they put on their britches just like you and I do every morning.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
And he was so comical. They love to brag like anybody else. And he said, Lindsay, are you going to be speaking anywhere in the next few weeks? I said, yes. I start in Seattle, Washington next week and wind up in Southern California 3 months later, speaking almost every day. He said, every place you go, would you like your audiences to think that you're a prophet? Well, I said, Ken, what do you mean? He said, everywhere you go, you tell your audiences that crude oil is going to $10 a barrel. I said, Ken, come on. You can't do that. I said, it'll break the Arab economies, and that was $32 a barrel at that time in 1984. And he said, it's going to $10 a barrel. I said, how do you know? Oh, he said, Lindsay, get off of it. He said, you know the Arabs don't control the price of a barrel of oil. We just let them think they do. He said, you know who controls the price of a barrel of oil, and if you want to get into some real nitty-gritty later on, George, ask me that question. I'll be glad to answer
sure
who does
thing.
It. But he said, it's going to that. I said, okay. Well, my next few days, I said that in my audiences. People literally laughed at me. I had folks breaking out in laughter. They knew that there was no way this could happen, but it did. It went from $32 a barrel to $11 a barrel. The phone almost rang off the hook. And people said, you're a prophet. I said, no, I'm not.
What was it at the pump then?
I just happen to know the people that are doing it.
Do you remember? What was it at the pump at that time then?
I think it went to about $1, $1.20 at the pump.
The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days, and it did exactly what he said because they are the ones that did it, and they did it intentionally for a reason.
They wanted to crush the Middle East, didn't they?
Well, now, keep in mind how all this came about. the elitist, the big money people of the world had gone to Arabs who 30, 40 years prior to that were nomads roaming the deserts riding camels. And they said, we'll make you rich. You just sign on the dotted line where we want you to. And they had told them to buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. Do you remember what gold went to? 800 and somewhat few dollars an ounce.
Well, and we think it's going to go even higher now.
No, I mean, it went back in those days, though.
Oh, that, exactly. That was huge. Yep.
And Ken Fromm said, gold went to that price. They bought it by the train carload. Oil was $32 a barrel. Then when oil went to $11 a barrel in order to maintain the economy in the Arab world, they had to sell what they bought. They had to sell it. And remember where gold went to? Yep. Went back down to about $300 an ounce from 800. And they had to sell it back to the same people they'd bought it from. Every bit of it was done by design. And I knew it 3 months before they did it and said it in audiences all across America.
Now, some people will say, come on, you must be a shill for the oil company. They accuse Jerry Corsi of the same thing when he talks about black gold stranglehold. How would you answer that?
Oh, quite to the contrary. I never received a dime from them. I have no respect for them whatsoever. They are the elitist of the world. They know exactly what they're doing. They are some of the I remember one day, George, I had been all day long rubbing shoulders with these people. Now, remember, I was brought up in a wonderful, godly home. I had a marvelous parents. Went off to Bible college, pastored a church for 12 years, and all of a sudden I'm thrown into the midst of a den of thieves. And all day long I'd sat with these people, listened to what they had to say. I went back to my dorm room that night, and I literally lay down on my bed and looked up at the ceiling and cried out to God and said, oh, God, I can't believe that there's such dastardly people on the face of this earth that would, by design, plan, intentionally manipulate nations. Now, Exxon, last year, made the largest profit that any corporation has ever made on the history of the earth. No, I have no respect whatsoever for those who are the power controllers. They dictate and buy off congressmen. The scams that have been in Alaska recently have almost been unbelievable. And every bit of it, no, I have no respect for them whatsoever as far as human beings and people are concerned.
Why aren't we doing anything to prop up the dollar?
Can't.
Free fall.
No, there's a reason why.
It's a free fall.
Well, let me go a little deeper.
Yeah.
I asked your producer for the show, I said, how controversial can I get on Coast to Coast? Oh, she said, more controversial the better. I said, okay, let's go back to what I heard when I sat in their board meetings. They said that they had chosen crude oil as a method of controlling the world back in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. Now, just think about this for a moment. There's one thing that touches the life of every human being on the face of the earth. I don't care whether they're living in a cardboard shack in a third world country or in a multi-million-dollar mansion in America. Crude oil can touch every life. The toothbrush you use tonight to brush your teeth, made out of plastic, comes from crude oil. Plastic bag in your garbage can. The asphalt highway you drive your automobile in. The cloth polyester clothes you're probably wearing right now. Or the drugs at the drugstore have an oil base. Gasoline at the gas pump. Every bit of it. Now, in the early 60s, they chose it as a method of control. Then, during the Carter administration, Mr. Henry Kissinger, who was our Secretary of State, went abroad to almost every oil-producing country in the world and said, I'd like to cut you a deal. We'll make you rich. We'll make you the wealthiest people on the face of the earth. You buy oil from us, and we require two things of you. And they said, okay, what is it? He said, number one, I would have never known this, George, if I had not been sitting in their board meetings. I mean, these people opened up to me. I was kind of like a mascot.
Sure.
You see, they weren't in my church. I was in their oil field. And as a result, they talked freely with me. And they said, this is what happened. And he said, okay, well, I'll cut you a deal. They said, what? They said, number one, you buy oil from us, but you must denominate all sales in American dollars. You must make it the standard currency for the trade of oil. They said, fine, as sound as the dollar. Why shouldn't we? So they said, fine. They said, what's the second thing? He said, you must take a percentage of what we buy oil from you for and turn around and buy our securities, our T-bills, our Federal Reserve issues. And basically, they monetize our national debt is what they do.
They sure do. Lindsay, stay with us. We're going to take some phone calls next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM.